Welcome. Welcome again to our Bible study at Grace Baptist Church, referred to as Sunday School. Last week, I made a bit of a mistake after having spoken to you about Melchizedek receiving tithes from Abram. I then, after saying that several times, went on to say that Melchizedek gave tithes to Abram. Again, in fact and in reality, I hope I made clear that Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. Where I make mistakes, where I misspeak, I'd like to talk to you today about someone who is altogether lovely. He makes no mistakes. He does not misspeak. He says exactly what he means. And it has been recorded for us in his word, the Bible. He is altogether lovely. I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Now thanks to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. In triumph, united to Christ. And through us, making manifest the aroma of his knowledge in every place. Your King James versions have the word savor, where I've used the word aroma. And I believe here in this context that primarily Paul, when he uses the word we, is speaking of those who preach the word of God. That does not mean that all Christians are not to be witnesses of Christ. We are to be that. For we, again as preachers, are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Your King James versions say sweet savor. This is a completely different word than the first word savor, or as I have used, aroma. Completely different word. And it has to do with a pleasing perfume. That's why I like the word fragrance. We are to God the pleasing fragrance of Christ because of what we preach. To the one, the aroma of death to death. And to the other, the aroma of life to life. That is rather tragic, isn't it? A pleasing fragrance from God, as the men of God proclaim the gospel of Christ. But to some, it is an odor, an aroma of death to death. And who is sufficient for these things? That's a hard thing, isn't it, what I just said? An aroma of death, an odor, a smell. And again, you and I both know that certain odors are pleasing, some are not. Some things smell good, some things don't smell so good, do they? But this message of Christ is a pleasing fragrance, but rejected by so many. For we, as these preachers, are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We speak in the sight of God, united to Christ, being as from God. And that is why we are a pleasing fragrance in preaching the gospel. Christ is the most pleasing fragrance to us who know Him. You see, He is altogether lovely. To those who are perishing, the Christ and His message is an odor unto death. To everyone, to all that hear this message, I must proclaim, that is my focus, to proclaim He is altogether lovely. As His church, as His bride, He is the object of our desire. I hope you heard that. If you're a Christian today, Christ is the object of your desire in all aspects of our existence. Collectively and individually as members of His body. Now I'd like to go to the Song of Solomon. Again, if you are a bit older, you might remember the title Canticle of Canticles, or the Canticles. I'm reading from verse 5, beginning at verse 9. Here, this context is speaking of the daughters of Jerusalem, speaking to the Shulamite, and we see the Shulamite answering them. The daughters of Jerusalem say, and that Shulamite, of course, is a type of the church, what is your beloved more than another beloved? O fairest among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved, that you so charge us, as she has asked them to find her beloved? Lead them to her beloved. She answers, my beloved is white and ruddy. And may I say, we must keep our minds on the spiritual and not the physical, though the physical is used here to point us to the spiritual. My beloved is white. He's absolutely pure, folks. My beloved is white and ruddy. Chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy, black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk, fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance, his look, is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Altogether, wholly, entirely, completely lovely. A term stated of an object most desirable. I ask this question of you, and I ask this question of me. Is Christ the most desirable object to you. I'm going to mention a most unusual prayer. I pray, God, by His love, God, by His love for you, would afflict you. In the depths of affliction, you'll find Him altogether lovely. He is like the friend sticking closer, clinging closer than a brother. Most of the rest of this message, almost its entirety, is going to be me showing you a number of reasons why He is the most desirable of all things. He is the last Adam of 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first Adam brought death to all His descendants, and that includes you and me. The last Adam, Christ, is a life-giving spirit. If you would have life eternal, He is altogether lovely. For Christians, He is the advocate of 1 John 2:1, pleading your case, pleading my case before the Father. Standing in for you, standing in for me in the presence of God. He is altogether lovely. He is the Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the Ancient of Days, the angel of God's presence, the anointed of the Lord, anointed above His fellows, the apostle and high priest of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, the author of eternal salvation. He, Jesus Christ, is altogether lovely. According to God's word, it was necessary for Christ to come in the flesh that He might deliver His people from their sins, that He might save us. In His humanity, He was altogether lovely to His people. I don't care what He looked like, folks. He was altogether lovely to His people. Remember, we need to keep this on the spiritual plane. He was the babe of Luke 2:16, Mary's babe. The child, Jesus, the carpenter's son, the second man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Holy Child. Emmanuel, God with us. The seed of the woman, the seed of David, the beloved Son, who indeed is altogether lovely. Jesus Christ fulfills all prophecy. He is the branch of Zechariah, the righteous branch of Jeremiah, the chief cornerstone of Psalm 118, the child of Isaiah 9, the commander of Isaiah 55, the costly cornerstone of Isaiah 28, the counselor of Isaiah 9, the desire of all nations of Haggai, the diadem of Isaiah 28, the firmly placed foundation of Isaiah 28 again, the God of Israel, which is the type of the church of Isaiah 45. The Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of His church, or even the one coming from Israel, the Holy One of Isaiah 37, the judge of Israel. You know, judgment begins at the house of God, the church, Micah 5, the King of Glory of Psalm 24, the leader in Isaiah 55, the King of Zion in Zechariah chapter 9, the King over all the earth, Zechariah 14, the lily of the valleys, the Song of Solomon, the Canticle of Canticles, chapter 2, the Lord of Hosts of Isaiah 54, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23. Are you listening? Can you ponder all of this? And I'm about halfway through. The Lord of Hosts of Isaiah 54, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23. If I've repeated that, you needed to hear it again. The Lord your Redeemer of Isaiah 43. The Man of Sorrows of Isaiah 53. The Messenger of the Covenant of Malachi chapter 3. The Mighty God of Isaiah 9. The Mighty One of Jacob of Isaiah 60. The Most Mighty, Psalm 45. The Precious Cornerstone, Isaiah 28. The Prince of Peace of Isaiah 9. The Prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Purifier, the Purifier and Refiner of Malachi 3. The Redeemer of Isaiah 59. The Righteous Servant of Isaiah 53. The Rod of the Stem of Jesse, Isaiah 11. The Root of Jesse, Isaiah 11. The Rose of Sharon, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Ruler in Israel. Does he rule in his church? Oh, I say he does. Micah chapter 5. The Scepter of Israel. The King of his church. Numbers 24. The Star out of Jacob. Numbers 24. The Stone of Daniel, chapter 2. The S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, Malachi, chapter 4. Because he is the S-O-N of God, eternally so. The Tried Stone of Isaiah 28. And the Wonderful of Isaiah 9. Are you beginning to see, to understand this Christ is all together lovely? The Christ is co-equal with God the Father and has all power both in heaven and on earth. According to the Holy Scriptures, He is the beginning and the end. He is the blessed and only sovereign. Your King James say potentate. He is the chief shepherd. Christ the King, Christ of God, Christ the power of God, the Deliverer, the first and last, the glorious Lord, the God blessed forever, the God of Israel, the God, our Savior, the great God. Remember I said the Scriptures? The Holy Scriptures say these things. The great High Priest, the great Shepherd, the head of all, the head of every human being, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the High Priest, the I Am, the eternal, ever-present, I Am God, the image in His humanity of God, the King Eternal, the King of Glory. Let's take a breath. As we go on, maybe we can begin to see more fully what John said as he ended his gospel record. There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. If you took each thing I've said thus far individually, you could write a volume on each one. Many volumes on each one. He is the King of Kings, the King over all the earth, the Lord Christ, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord both of the dead and the living, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of that rest that we must enter into and cease from our own works to be saved. The Lord, our righteousness. If you get into heaven, you better not plead your own righteousness. Apart from the righteousness of Christ, you're not going to make it. The Lord, our Redeemer. The Messiah. The only wise God. The power of God. The Prince of Life. The Prince of the kings of the earth, the rabbi, the rock, the ruler over the kings of the earth, the God, our Savior, the Word of life, the Word of God. Folks, He is altogether lovely. Do you desire to be cared for, to be provided with the things necessary for life, both temporal and spiritual? Well, Christ is the bread of life, the guardian of our souls. Our husband, He is our light, our life, the manna from heaven, our minister, our physician, our teacher from God, our unspeakable gift. The vine from which eternal life flows. In time of need, day by day, he is altogether lovely. A most desirable thing. The most desirable thing. Remember, we spoke of an odor of death unto death for those who are perishing. Christ is not a most desirable thing for such people. And I must warn you, he is the destroyer of Exodus chapter 12. The holy and just one. We're talking about real justice here, folks. The judge of the living and the dead. The lion of the tribe of Judah. As God, and he is a consuming fire. It is a frightful thing to be in the hands of the living God. And folks, he lives today and forever. Put in words that some who reject Christ may better understand, Jesus Christ will be your worst nightmare. This same Jesus who will cast the damned into hell is also the friend of sinners, the bridegroom, the bright morning star, the captain of salvation, the day spring, the day star, the door of the sheepfold, faithful and true, firstborn from the dead, the holy and just one, the horn of salvation, the life, the mediator for Christians, our Passover, our peace, our propitiation, our ransom, our redeemer, the resurrection, our salvation, our Savior, the truth, the way. Folks, he is altogether lovely. For Christians, he is that great high priest who is the king who offers himself as the sacrificial lamb of God. Of this sacrificial lamb, as we saw last week, I pray, of this sacrificial lamb, we may spiritually eat by partaking of his eternal life day by day. May I repeat that? Christ, the Lamb of God, this sacrificial lamb, we may spiritually eat by partaking of his eternal life day by day. In addition, we may eat of his word and live thereby. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I'm going to say something that's physically and spiritually absolutely true. You are what you eat. John chapter 6. The Lord Jesus Christ says this. After you had the feeding of the 5,000, that miracle where Christ fed 5,000 people from two fish and five barley loaves. Christ says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Humanity will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him." Folks, that's an eternal seal. Psalm 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts in him." Oh, how I pray that you and I may say along with Isaiah as he spoke to the Lord, "With my soul I have desired you. With my soul I have desired Christ." He is altogether lovely. God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son." He says that of his Christ. From the Canticles, the Song of Solomon, the beloved Son's bride says, listen, please listen. Christians, this is what we say, collectively and individually. "My beloved is mine, and I am his. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." May I repeat that? As Christians, Christ's desire is toward you. As a Christian, we must say, and irresistibly so, he is altogether lovely. Amen.